Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Wednesday, June 5th, and got a couple of different areas that I want to deal with, but it's not all that different than anything that we ever talk about. But the first thing, I want to talk about crime, and you know, there are a lot of ways to add up crime. Lots of different ways. Now, you might think, well, either people are doing crazy things and busting everything up and stealing and so forth, or they're not. And, you know, part of the problem is there's research and then there's anecdotal information. So if you've got an anecdote, if you've got a story, that's one thing. And then if you've got comprehensive numbers, that's a second thing. And then the next part is, what do the numbers mean? So, I mean, you could start and say that if crime is way down, if it's way down in the country, and if it's way down in the city, then, I don't know, maybe somebody did something right, maybe. Sounds like it could be. Or maybe it's down for reasons which are unknown. And if the reasons are unknown, then it's really difficult to decide who to attribute the good results to. And you might say that it doesn't matter who you attribute the results to. You might say that. And that might be true, too, to some extent. However, the problem is that you've got a political world where all the political people want to either take credit for something that's happening that's good or assign the blame based on something that's happening that's not good. I mean, all this is pretty obvious. It doesn't sound too complicated. But here's where it really starts to get tough. So in the first place, how is crime? Well, in the United States, overall, of course, overall is just sort of a general number. That doesn't mean that you haven't experienced something or that you don't know things happening in your community that are different than this general number. But in general, crime in the United States is at a 50-year low. Just is. Now, can you say that Joe Biden did it? Well, I'm going to tell you right now that I strongly support the Democratic Party. And I will vote for Joe Biden against a real criminal, Donald J. Trump. But I can promise you that Joe Biden has done nothing to reduce crime to a 50-year low. He hasn't done it. Nothing. It's down, okay, but it's not because of him. He's just not responsible for reducing crime. Now, you might say, well, how do you know that, Kaysen? And I'm just going to say, look, I don't. This is not based on research. This is based on my opinion. I don't think that Joe Biden has done anything to bring down crime. And by the way, Donald Trump didn't do anything to bring it down either, but it went down during Trump's presidency, and it went down during Biden's presidency, and in fact, it went down during Obama's presidency. It just kept going down. It didn't matter what these guys did. It just kept dropping. Now, here's an interesting one for you. A poll This is a Gallup poll. And I don't have this up on the screen. Go find it. But you probably believe this anyway, so it doesn't matter. 75% of the people in the United States believe that crime is at a 50-year high. It's just what they believe. But if I tell you, and if you see in the numbers that it's actually at a 50-year low, I just have to ask you, what do you make of it? Because crime is at a 50-year low in the United States. And people think it's at a 50-year high. So Ben says, we read it in the papers every day. Okay, great point, Ben, because I was just going to get to that. Yesterday, there was an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, front page news. Murder and mayhem in St. Louis. People were getting shot everywhere. Crime was out of control for several days. Now, Joe, you want to bring this up for me, the article? So we're going to look at a little article here. And this is the Missouri Times. I have no idea, really, if I agree with the Missouri Times or not. I really wanted to look at the information. You know, where is crime? Okay. And their opinion is that there is work in St. Louis that's responsible for reducing crime. But they also point out in the article that some people don't know where it comes from at all. So let me see if can we make that a little bigger for me? The print. Ah, there we go. Okay. So let's come down. There we go. So okay, at the start of 2024, Robert J. Tracy, who wrote this in January, said he joined Mayor Tashara Jones in releasing highlights of 2023 year-end crime data for the city of St. Louis. And St. Louis today is safer this year than it was last year. Okay. That's by the numbers. 2023 marked the lowest number of homicides in a decade for St. Louis, 10-year low. Data reveals a 21% reduction in murders, a 24% reduction in shooting incidents, and a 23% reduction in shooting victims compared to 2022. Okay, these are the numbers. St. Louis saw a 22% reduction in overall Part 1 crimes, which include murder, sexual assault, robbery, aggravated assault, burglary, felony, theft, and auto theft. Okay, so you can take it down now, Joe. I just wanted to get those numbers up there. There's a lot they have to say in the article. I'm not going to read the whole article. It's just not even necessary because I've got some pretty good opinions on this myself. And I happen to know that St. Louis City spent a couple of million dollars several years ago on a program aimed at reducing crime. And honestly, I wish I could remember it. I looked it up. I couldn't find it. They're not even talking about it anymore. But let me tell you what the program did. They had people who went out all over St. Louis, and they looked for problems that were developing between different groups. Individuals who wanted to fight each other. Groups of people who wanted to hurt each other. And so they went out and they did all of this work to find out who was getting in trouble and who might get in trouble. And then they ran to these people and then they tried to hold them apart. And they tried to convince them that there were better ways to solve their problems than through violence. And I can only tell you this. We didn't make this up in St. Louis. Came from other cities, and specifically, it came from Chicago. And at the time that it came from Chicago, like everywhere else, the crime was going down, even though if you ask people about what it's like in Chicago, they'll tell you that it's extremely dangerous. And I'm sure if you're somebody that gets hurt in Chicago, for you, crime is very dangerous. And if you're somebody in Chicago who has stayed out of trouble, stayed away from all the crime, then for you, crime is down. But overall, the crime numbers are down everywhere. But it's widely agreed upon, it was at the time, when St. Louis took on this program, that Chicago's improvements, wherever they were not a result of this program. And when the program got to St. Louis, I got on the air and I said repeatedly, and I brought this to a lot of different people, that this was a terrible idea. Waste of millions of dollars. That it was not going to reduce crime. Now, I suppose, looking at the numbers right now, a bunch of people would say, this has worked. The problem is that people who sort of dig into the numbers and look at the situations as they exist on the street all say that there's really no explanation for why crime is down in St. Louis and why it's down nationally. Now, there are some people who do have some explanations, demographic explanations. So, for example, our societies, communities are all getting older. Older people commit fewer crimes. I mean, that's just a fact. Older people commit fewer crimes. You go out and get a bunch of 70-year-old people, they're not knocking off houses and stealing cars. They're just not doing it. Even if they've got problems, they're not doing it. The ones who do it are young people. So as the number of young people decline, the number of crimes decline. There's also more on this. The research, the real research, says that crime is most often committed by people who are subject to violence, lots of violence, traumatic lives. People who live in trauma tend to bring that trauma back to their lives on the street, wherever they go. Trauma follows them everywhere. That's an explanation for crime. So, in my opinion, you want to stop crime? Certainly you want to reduce trauma. That's obvious. I mean, nobody wants trauma. How do you do that? A little more complicated. I can tell you that I've been in a classroom where, and this is 2 decades ago, so nobody that this could be connected to, student came into class, again, anecdotal information, but okay. Student came into class and said, you know, today's a difficult day for me, Mr. Kaysen, because we found a dead body in the basement. Well, you know, people who live in houses where you might find a dead body in the basement, it might be violent homes where crime could be festering and then find its way out into the community. But in any event, because you're going to say, how do you reduce that? And I can't answer that at all. I mean, I don't know how to fix that house, and I don't know how to find that house. I mean, how do you walk up and down the street and figure out which houses have dead bodies in the basement? I mean, you can't. How do you find out where there's trauma behind closed doors? Pretty tough. So, you know, there are a lot of things involved in all of this that are very complicated. And yet, on the other hand, I definitely am not sitting here saying that Tashara Jones and Megan Green have done absolutely nothing to reduce crime, because I don't know how much they have responsibility for doing it, but in fact, under their watch, the crime has come down some, 20-some percent. These are big crimes. This isn't like stealing at Walmart. This is murder, sexual assault, like Donald, who assaults people, rapes them. No, it's not like him. This is different. This is all going down. Now, if you go to the White House from 2016 to 2020, the murder rate and the assault rate was going up. I mean, and you're going to say, who did Trump murder? Well, he murdered people over in Turkey. You don't even know this story. You know, there are thousands over there. Thousands. We promised to protect this whole group of people, and Trump just walked away from them and let everybody murder them. Thousands died for no reason, just because he felt like it. So, yeah, he's a murderer. But no one's going to give him credit for that one. But everybody's going to give him credit for rape, or at least people who understand our system of justice, because our system of justice has pointed to him as a rapist, and he has to pay $100 million because he raped E. Jean Carroll. So, yeah, that's part of the deal. But in the city of St. Louis, those kind of crimes are down. Yeah, they were up in the White House, but down everywhere else. But again, if you ask the public all said the crime is up. 75% said the crime is up to a 50-year high. How could people be so wrong? I mean, like Ben said, well, they read it in the newspapers, but please. First of all, people don't even read the newspapers. If they read the newspapers, if they see the headlines, that's where they get it. Of course, we know that where they really get their news, especially the young people, sad to say, is TikTok. Now, I'm not going to say that people who watch TikTok are criminals. I'm not going to say that at all. I don't think that's true. I think that people could watch TikTok, be ignorant of everything around them, have all the stories wrong, and have not been experiencing mayhem and murder and trauma, and therefore live pretty calm, okay lives. So they're probably all right. But here's the thing. Here's my thing. See, I'm going to tell you the bottom line for me, and I think I know what I'm talking about, but you know, I've been 23 years in the classroom, and I read everything I can get my hands on, and I pretty much know things. But you can disagree. I am fairly confident that if you send young people who are the ones who are involved mostly in crime, I mean, that's just statistically, if you take these young people, you send them to good schools, then you send them off to college. By the time they finish 4 years of college and they get, you know, some good basic liberal education, and I don't mean liberal like politically, I mean liberal, you know, that's what we teach, you know, liberal arts. Once they get that kind of education, they come out of college, and they will not be the ones committing crimes. I didn't say none will do it. I'm saying mostly they won't do it because that's not what they're exposed to in life. That's not the direction that they go. Young people in college just are generally not traumatized. Generally. I'm not saying nobody is, but generally, I understand. Donald went to Wharton. And look what he ended up. He rampaged across this country for 40 years, committing crimes everywhere. But that's one man. Most people who have that education level don't do that. You know, presidents of the United States don't say, if I don't get elected, there will be a bloodbath. No, they don't say that. That's just not how we do it. And frankly, they don't even believe it. Donald might believe it or not, but he certainly does say it. If you think he doesn't, go pull it up on Google and listen to it. Could I have played it for you? Yeah, I could play you that stupidity. But the man says that if he's not elected, there will be a bloodbath. He also said in the last couple of days that if he goes to jail, now you think about criminals. How many criminals would say this? If he goes to jail, he says, it's okay with him. He doesn't care. But he says, the public is reaching a tipping point, and he says that people will not put up with this. It's a nice threat. People will not put up with him going to jail. I guess, really, that people will put up with him going to jail. I think they will. Now, whether he gets assigned to a jail cell, I don't know. James Comey explained 2 days ago on TV what they would do with Trump. In his opinion, he says they can set up a trailer on the edge of the prison and basically put Trump in solitary confinement out in a trailer with his Secret Service people, and that he can just sit out there for however long they assign him to jail. And that'll be it. He'll still be in the prison, but it'll just be in a little different section. And by the way, I always talk about Al Capone. And the reason I do it is think about this. You know, people say today, these are Trump people, they say, you know, he didn't do anything all that bad. And we don't even put people in jail, or we don't even try them for these things. Well, that turns out not to be true. They have tried thousands of people in New York for the same thing that Trump has done. But they don't put them in jail. That's true. But the other side is those people walk into the courtroom, quietly sit down in their seat. They are represented by attorneys who respectfully address the court. Discussions within the courtroom do not include the client, the defendant, who is sitting in there. That person sits there quietly, and everybody else has discussions about the case, that is the attorneys and the judge. But basically, it's a very respectful environment. So what did Donald do? Walks in the courtroom, screams and yells, acts crazy, Every time somebody says something, he groaned, he made noises, he said things that were inappropriate. And the judge kept telling him to stop it, and he wouldn't stop it. Wouldn't stop it. Kept on going. Gave him a gag order. Violated the gag order 10 times at least. And then when it was all over, the trial, or right at the end especially, before it was over, he started violating the gag order again. He's violating it today. He violates it every day. He doesn't care about anybody. He says he's not sorry. He says he's not going to beg anybody. He says, he told his lawyers, don't go out and say things about me not going to jail. He says, we're not going to beg them. He says, I'm going to tell people whatever I want. We're not begging anybody for anything. Well, see, that is what will put Donald behind bars, if anything does. If anything does, what he's doing and what he's done throughout the trial, that will put him behind bars. And then people will say, that is the Trump people, look what they did to Trump. They put him behind bars. Nobody goes to jail for this. Yeah, but nobody goes into a courtroom acting insane. And in fact, not even Al Capone. Not even the worst criminals around go into a courtroom screaming at the judge, attacking the families of the judge and everybody else in the courtroom, and trying to intimidate the jurors. Now, yes, crime, you know, mob people, yeah, mob crime leaders, they do attempt to intimidate the jury. But actually, not on television. They don't do it that way. Oh, they have ways of doing it, but they don't go after people in public so that you can watch them do it. So the point is here that you can forget the trial, you can forget the judge, you can forget everything that happened in that courtroom that truly followed the rule of law. And here's what you can do. Just look at what you saw. You saw a former president of the United States who is mentally ill, because that's mental illness. Now, his niece says it's mental illness, and she's a psychologist. I'm no psychologist. I'm an educational psychologist. That's different. But she's a psychologist, and she says that he is mentally ill. He's a psychopath. Well, he is. And you know that anybody that goes into a courtroom and acts like that is mentally ill. You know it. And you know that you would never do it. Whoever you are, whoever is listening to this right now, whoever is watching any program in the United States of America right now, I don't care who it is. If you end up in a courtroom, you won't do that. You won't go nuts. You won't scream at the judge. You won't mouth off. You won't attack the jurors. You won't attack the witnesses. You don't need a gag order. You know not to do that. Everybody knows not to do it. Only Donald Trump doesn't know that that's inappropriate behavior. And in fact, it's dramatically inappropriate behavior. So I'll even say this to you. Criminals, the worst criminals you can find, murderers, carjackers, rapists, if they get in front of me and you, they will act like they're okay. They'll pretend that you can trust them and you don't have to worry. And then when you're not looking, or somebody's not looking, or the police isn't there, or something, then they'll do their crime. But they just won't walk up and down the street promising that they'll create mayhem. They won't do that. They'll create mayhem, maybe, but they won't do it in front of the police. Not even the worst ones will do it. Now, there might be some psychopath who will do it, and that's my point. There may be some psychopath who will act like Donald. But that's the point. He is a psychopath. So, you know, we put Al Capone in jail for tax evasion. People didn't say when he went to jail, when Al Capone went to jail, listen to this now. People didn't say, well, they got him for tax evasion, but he really didn't do anything else. He's really been a fine citizen, except they caught him on a little technicality on his taxes, and they used it to put him in jail because they were out to get Al Capone. No, they were out to get Al Capone because Al Capone had been on a murder tear across this country for decades, and he kept getting away with it. And Donald Trump has been on a criminal rampage for 40 years. And we got him on what we think of as the least important case that we could have got him on. But when we did it to Al Capone, we did the same thing. We got him on what we could. And we got him off the streets. And that's what we are doing here. We're getting Donald, a psychopath, and we're taking him out of circulation, getting him away from everybody else so he can't cause mayhem. And like I've said, you can take away everything else. You can take away the underlying behavior, take away the election interference. Take all of it away. Forget about what he said to Raffensperger in Georgia. Change the votes. Forget about all of the efforts that he made to put fake electors into these states, which, by the way, five states now have indicted the fake electors in their states. I mean, we're talking about Arizona, Colorado, Wisconsin, Georgia, where else? Michigan. Yeah. So five states have indicted these fake electors. And by the way, in indicting them, they've included Donald Trump as an unindicted co-conspirator. And all that means is that they're holding off on him right now, and they'll see what they decide to do about it. Now, they may not do anything about it, but they might, and they can. And one of the reasons that they may not be doing anything right now, except for Georgia, is because of what's happened in Georgia. The one place where Donald has been included in all of this, the political system has come out in gigantic numbers trying to beat up the prosecutor. So naturally, four other states have indicted the fake electors. Come on, it's not okay to do this. They've indicted these people. and they're holding off on Donald, and they'll see what happens. Because at the moment, they would prefer not to be in the same situation as Fonnie Willis. That makes sense. Doesn't mean that Donald hasn't done anything. He's done a ton. He's a very dangerous man. And I haven't even brought up today the 144 incidents, illegal, where Donald's people met with the Russians prior to the election in 2016. Now, I've brought that up a number of times, and I've been requested to bring in some of the writing from the Mueller report, because I've said, go read the Mueller report. No one's going to read it. And the other thing is, if I bring in the Mueller report and put it up on the screen, people will say, well, of course, that's the Mueller report. Junk. But like I said, forget it all. Forget the 144 illegal meetings with the Russians. Forget the fact that in the White House at the beginning of his presidency, Trump got in there and high-fived with the Russians while he turned over classified documents to the Russians and took pictures of it and sent the pictures back to Russia, which we eventually got our hands on in the American press. And there was plenty of serious upset in the world community over Donald turning over those documents. And he looked around at everybody like, well, I didn't know what I was doing. But he's still doing it. But see, I said, forget it. Forget what he's done in Florida. Forget that he's done all this. Because all you got to do is look at what he did in the courtroom. Because that, you know what he did. And then you know that this is a man with a serious illness. So that, put that aside, because that's one of the worst criminals in the country. One of the worst. Not just somebody that got in trouble for paying hush money. That's not this. This man is far more than that. That's just like Al Capone. Al Capone was not just a tax evader. I mean, if that's all Al Capone did, they'd have probably never gotten him. But they got him for what they could. And that's what they've done with Trump. They got him for what they could. In the meantime, we see what he is every single day. We saw it for 5 weeks during the trial, and that should be enough to tell anybody that this man is seriously ill and shouldn't be anywhere near the levers of power in the United States government. Okay. But just because you don't want to be near the levers of power, if you don't want Trump near those levers, that doesn't mean you don't want to eat dinner. You got to eat dinner. I don't care. Doesn't matter who you are. You could be all the way on the right. You could be all the way on the left. What do you care? You just want a good dinner. So that's what we're going to tell you about. You can go get a great dinner and other meals as well at Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in the valley, in Chesterfield Valley. The food is great. I recommend baby back ribs and onion rings. That's what I recommend. You have to eat what I say. But boy, they have great food. Smoked meats. They got great wings. Everybody loves wings. I don't love wings. I love baby back ribs. I mean, everybody doesn't like the same thing. But I can tell you this. Wendy's food is terrific. The pizza, the salads, everything at Wendy's. Ben and his wife have done a great job. They've got a great restaurant, and it's so good that it's not even just in Chesterfield anymore. You can now get the same great food in Defiance. Defiance, Missouri. That's another Wendy's. So check them out. Enjoy their food. And don't even worry about your politics. Because whatever your politics are, you better eat. That I can assure you, you need to do. Anthony Fauci can tell you that. Oh, I'm sorry. If I tell you the Fauci says you're supposed to eat, maybe you'll never eat again. Okay, so that's Wendy's. Check that out. Now, the next thing I want to do is tell you where you can get jewelry. And that, you can go to 4506 Hampton, and that's in St. Louis. And, of course, my good friend Al is the owner, and his son AJ. And they've got cases and cases filled with great jewelry. They buy and sell jewelry. They buy and sell coins. And I can tell you that Jewels on Hampton is just a terrific jewelry store. The best. So get yourself over to 4506 Hampton. Check out all the great jewelry. Check out the designs that they have put out there. And then also, there might be something you want done. You might have a design that you like, some jewelry that you would like created. All you got to do is tell Al what it is. He'll take care of that for you as well. And if you've got a terrific watch, which I do, I've got a gold Seiko that's 45 years old. It's really fabulous. And I want it to work. And so, you know, that's what you do. You take it to Jewels on Hampton, and they'll fix your watch, whatever it is, because they're really good at it. And they just, everything that has to do with jewelry, you can get that done at Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton in St. Louis. Now, finally, you got to wear something every day. I mean, you want to look good. You don't want to wear a blue sport coat with a red tie, and that's all you ever wear all your life. You don't want to do that? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. There are Republicans, believe it or not, obsequious. Look it up. Not good. They dress themselves up like Trump. I mean, I'm laughing because it's so silly. It is stupid. Why would you do that? You know, if you're in China, you might dress up like Chairman Mao and carry a little red book. I understand that. I mean, I like Mao and I like China, but I can tell you right now that they weren't very fashionable. They had no creativity. They just wore whatever Mao was wearing. Well, these people who are dressing up in blue coats with a red tie, they obviously have not gone to the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. They have not. Because if they have gone there, if they had gone there, they'd have all different sport coats and really nice ties with terrific different designs on them. We're talking about the best ties. I mean, these are silk ties. $5. Who knows what these crazy people are paying for these red ties so that they can be obsequious and look like Trump. I don't know. But they sure don't know Jay and Nick, because there's no way Jay and Nick would tell them to wear that suit and tie. What you think about politics is another story. But dressing up like that, it's crazy. Don't do it. Go to the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton on the corner of Forsyth and Central and go find yourself one of the brand new sport coats that they've got there, or even the suits. The suits are there too. Great prices for everything. Shirts, ties, $5. Shoes. I mean, they got great dress shoes, just I wear Chucks, but that's not the point. The point is what you want, and you can get it at the St. Louis Suit Company. And on top of that, if you're getting married or you know somebody who's getting married, well, the St. Louis Suit Company is the place to go for that because they are tops in wedding attire. That is the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Go see Jay and Nick. Now, hang on, because I got important news from Bill Monroe. Bill Monroe is campaigning for the Board of Education in the city of St. Louis. Is the City of St. Louis Campaign 2025 SLPS school board race. So remind me, Bill, what's the date for that voting? I know he'll get this up there in about 2 seconds because he wants to get everybody out to vote for him. And I'll tell you something. Bill Monroe is a great candidate for the Board of Education in the city of St. Louis. He's already been on the board in the past, I can tell you that. And he was good. And then he stopped for a while because I know he was trying to put a charter school together. And at every turn, people blocked him despite the great work that he had done before that, because he had put a charter school together way back when these schools were first starting, and it was really good. And here we are. Bill is just determined, and he decided again that he would just, he'd run. So Bill says November 24, that's it. They're going to be voting for the school board, and that's the story. Yeah, his school was Thurgood Marshall, the Thurgood Marshall Charter School. I knew that. But he's got some other ideas too, and it's all good. It's all aimed at uplifting students and families in St. Louis. And believe me, personally, I'm not a charter school person. On the other hand, I can tell you, if anybody's out there doing it, I would trust Bill Monroe before I'd trust 99.9% of the rest of these yahoos. And believe me, I know some bad stories having to do with charter schools. In fact, I'll even tell it to you this way. I'm not going to name it because it's not necessary. But, you know, if you put kids in school and you demand compliance, that is exactly what you will not get. Especially teenagers. They're not going to listen. I was a teenager. I didn't listen. Teenagers don't listen. And I'll give you an example. It's a great example. When I went to high school, they used to say, you have to have your shirt tucked in. Pretty minor thing. I mean, it's not like it's life or death. It's not like the school is going to turn on whether students have their shirts tucked in or not. But the school felt that it would be better for everybody if the students looked a little more presentable by tucking in their shirts. So there were signs everywhere. Tuck in your shirt. So what do you think the teenagers did? If you don't know the answer to this, then you've never talked to a teenager. Maybe you don't have any kids. That's okay, and it's possible. Maybe you've never seen any kids. Maybe you've never heard about any kids. But here's the answer. We pulled out our shirts. The more signs they put up that said you should put your shirt in, the more we made sure that our shirts were out. What are you going to do about it? Really? What are you going to do? Shut down the school over it? Fight about it every day? Well, they did. Oh, definitely they did. Of course. They made it into a case that was ridiculous. because the kids wouldn't listen. Well, let me say this about a problem in America today, but actually it's more than America. And this is a problem having to do with cell phones. Cell phones in school. I'm going to talk about crime. Schools do not want you to have your cell phone out when you're supposed to be in a classroom. In fact, they don't want it out anywhere around a classroom. And most schools say, you know, put those phones away. Get rid of them. Do something. Well, sort of like the shirts. You tell the kids to get rid of their cell phones, and you walk into a school, what do you think you're going to see? You're going to see cell phones everywhere. Further, let's do this one. Headphones, earbuds. That bothers me more than a cell phone. You got kids walking around with headphones and earbuds in. And I always tease the kids because this is a true thing. But young people have been run over by trains when they were listening to cell phones, to earbuds, whatever. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like it happens every day, but it has happened. And so I always tell the kids, be careful because you're going to get run over by a train. They laugh, ha ha. It's very funny. And that's it. Because let me tell you, they're not putting their cell phones away. Monroe says cell phones should be turned off during school hours and turned off as they enter the school. Monroe, nice try. It's not possible. They say that everywhere. They tell the kids to put away their cell phones. And the kids don't put away their cell phones. But I'll give you a better one. The grown-ups don't put their cell phones away either. You want to see an example of addiction? Forget Hunter Biden. Look at this. See this here? See that there? Right? Kaysen is addicted. I'm addicted to phones. Nothing I can do about it. I do more on those phones. You can't believe it. I'm on those phones every minute. I'm doing things on those phones that you can't imagine. And here's what I get. See that? Can you read that? No, you can't read it, maybe. That's the phone call I get 99% of the time. Scam likely. I always tell the kids, that's my best friend. He calls me all day long. Scam likely. But here's the point. I've got two cell phones, and I'm active on those phones all day long. Not in the classroom, of course. I'm not crazy. No, that's ridiculous. But after class, sure I am. Everybody in my classrooms comes in, and they see television screens everywhere. Now, that isn't every class at the school. Every class in the school has one TV screen. I've got three TV screens in my classrooms. I've got MSNBC on one wall. I've got the stock market on another wall. I've got other news in another position. I've got all kinds of things going on. It's 2024, you know. It's technology. Computers everywhere. Plus, the kids have their own computers, of course. And that's where we are in 2024. So if you think that you're going to get these kids to get rid of their cell phones and their earbuds, forget it. You can sit there and you can tell the kids, if you have your cell phone out, you will have a fine. And you know what the kids say? Fine. Okay. Hand it over. Give me the fine. I'll pay the fine. Because I and not getting rid of my cell phone. They're just not going to do it. So, sure, they're disobeying the law. But, like I said, 50 years ago, the signs everywhere said, put your shirts in. Okay. No, we're not going to put our shirts in. No, we're not putting the cell phones away. And here's one for you. We had, at the end of school, we had an exchange student who was in from Germany. And I asked her, how's the cell phone situation in Germany? Well, forget it. It doesn't matter where it is. You know, the Germans don't play around. They tell you you better obey, you better obey. But not cell phones. No. We have a cell phone problem in the world, on the planet Earth. And this cell phone problem is not going away. What can you do about it? Well, I'll tell you what you can do, because it's a simple answer. Really is. But, you know, people just, they're like Monroe. Yeah, Monroe says, we have a rule. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. This was Michael. Michael says we have a rule, no electronics at the dinner table. Well, you can do that, Michael. You can accomplish that in your house. No, I'll agree on that. You can do it. That you can do. Not a problem. Up to a certain age. After a certain age, you may have a problem. I don't know. I'll have to discuss this with you, Michael. You'll tell me if your wife puts her phone away or if you put your phone away. And you're going to say, yes, you do. 100% of the time? Always? I'm just checking. Everybody's addicted to these things. This is not a joke. And okay, if you can control it at dinner, believe me, it's going to pop out after dinner like there's no tomorrow. All that may do is cut down the dinner time. Michael says, yes. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, you can do certain things up to a point. But here's what I know I can do. I do this all the time. I tell the kids, I'm not going to do anything to you. I'm just not. Yeah, Monroe says, I'm addicted. Well, of course, everybody's addicted. After dinner, he says, back to the phones. Yeah, LOL. Of course. Anyway, all I'm saying is, if you're respectful and you say to the kids, can you do me a favor and can you move that phone out of the way? I'm not going to do anything to you, but if you can get that phone out of there, I'd appreciate it. Believe me, respect goes a long way. And we could talk all about that, could spend hours and hours talking about it. But I will promise you that respectful behavior engenders respectful behavior. Apparently, Donald didn't go to that home. Respectful behavior. I mean, we could sit and laugh all night about that one. You don't have to say another word. We could all just sit here and laugh hysterically. Respect? Are you kidding me? Remember the piano tuner? The piano tuner at Trump Tower came in and tuned all the pianos in the entire tower, and Trump comes back at the end and says, I'm not paying you? We could talk about that another day. It's ridiculous. The man's a criminal. He's crazy. But I am Mark Kaysen, and this is brought to you by Wendy's, St. Louis Soup Company, and Jules on Hampton. And I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.